But I know others feel like me. You read about the church in Acts. You hear about the church in the first century, or maybe you hear about the church in some of these restricted and persecuted countries where the gospel's exploding. You're like, I want a piece of that. I want some of that. It can happen where you're at. I'm not saying I have the answer in how that's done, but it is going to take us integrating faith even more into our everyday life.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got a pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
Capital has just been.
To turn a nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19
numbers. I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
Wow, week after week, episode after episode, we have had some incredible guests in this series about helping us develop a fully integrated faith. So the heart behind the overall podcast is, how can we help our families have a faith that lasts? Part of that is by fully integrating faith in all of our life, that we're not having this dichotomy of, here's our life, here's all these different things in our life, and here's our faith stuff over here. Rather, faith is driving our life. When I looked at how do we address this, I didn't want to just say it. Just straightforwardly say and explain that. Because in other places in the world and throughout history, Christianity has been fully integrated faith. Christ followers have fully integrated faith into their lives. It's really here in the West, it's really in this strange bubble, the United States, this strange period of history where followers of Christ have been able to make such a dichotomy, such a split. So we have heard from guest after guest who just cracked the door open a bit on a bigger perspective or a different perspective of what it looks like to follow Jesus in everyday life and have a fully integrated faith. Another way of looking at this journey we've been on for weeks now, for episodes, many episodes, is it's really been my journey in a lot of ways. It's been the journey I've been on throughout my time of following Christ and in ministry. It's glimpses of some of the things that I've experienced that's helped me work towards developing more of a integrated faith. I'm not going to sit here and say, man, my faith is fully integrated, man. I got this thing down. No, I'm struggling through this. I'm trying. That's the hope. So it's now my turn to tell my story. And again, a lot of ways, the different pieces you saw were my stories. And these are people I have met along the way and resources I've come across along the way. I was blessed to grow up in church, grow up in a Christian family, Christian grandparents, Christian extended family. We're there every time the church doors are. We're there every time the church doors are open, and even when they're closed, as I'm coming up there, as my mom's volunteering to work as a secretary and help with the church bulletin newsletter. My dad's helping with maintenance up at the church, and then at some point along the way, they think it's this great idea that our family become the custodians of our church. I've heard people say, you know, I was at church every time the doors were open. No, we were there a lot of times when they were closed, we were there, but blessed to grow up in that Christian heritage. But again, the danger that we have as parents, as disciple makers, as parents, and as parents that are being disciple makers, the struggle we have is, we're not trying to reproduce churchgoers. We're trying to help our children follow Christ with their life. Well, early teenage years, youth group years, we had a youth pastor that challenged us to spend time with the Lord, to have a quiet time. And at the time, it was these student discipleship ministry journal. It was just like a little paragraph quiet time, this little book, this pocketbook. And that semester, I had study hall. And so I began taking that with me. And during that study hall, I'd pull it out, read my devotional, and read the passage that was there. And it was during that time that I finally began to experience this relationship that we can have with God. At the same time, in that youth ministry and also a Christian club at school, began to take a role in leadership and service, and God just began to work in my life. I became captivated, age 16, captivated by the story of the early church in the book of Acts. Acts 2, verse 42, I'll read it. Says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day after day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Man, what an incredible picture. So there in high school, I become captivated by this. I feel a call to ministry. And I really just set out on this journey to find this, or I thought helped bring it to happen, which was not the case. Now, some of the experiences that I had that I felt were close to this, one of those, there was a traditional five-day revival happening in a town like 45 minutes from where I grew up there in my high school years. And I think like day two or something, we drove and went to it, and you had to wait in line to get into the church. And when you're there, God just moved in this mighty way. Well, it's also one of the times I was introduced to a more contemporary style of worship. And so I begin to think, okay, that's the answer to this. And no, that's not the answer to this. But I do believe a more of a vertical approach to worship did play a part. But God was really working with me through spending time with Him, worship, vertical worship, that there was more than just this going to church, trying to be a good person. But as I had the chance to go to a great Christian college, go to seminary, you know, I'm in ministry myself, this was not what I was finding in church. It was not what I was able to bring as a leader. And in some ways, it was disillusioning. And some of you may be there. Maybe you had a taste of God moving in a powerful way, like I did at that revival time and a few points in my life, but seeing it on a regular basis and looking for that, I wasn't finding it. Fast forward, I've been a senior pastor for 12 years, left that and began Stand Firm Ministries, wrote my book, Spiritual Prepper, got invited to come out to check out a conference in Texas on prophecy. And some of the guests that you have heard from on here, Joel Richardson was one of those, was at that conference. And so I go to this conference, and the second day, they had this special breakfast, and it was a closed-door breakfast. It was a secure thing. I think now I can talk about it because several years down the road. And I sit down to my breakfast. We're here at this round table. Really don't know what to expect. It's just a few Christian leaders there and some of the speakers. And Joel Richardson stands up, and he begins to talk about, he says, hey, this needs to be on the down low. We can't let this leave this room. But I'm working with the underground church in the Middle East. We have a leader from that movement here in the States. I can arrange a meeting if you would like. Man, that just triggered something in me. As he was telling about this movement that was happening in Iran, and I'm like, oh, there's a real live dude from that here. We could go and talk to him. And that was a conversation we had with Joel a few episodes back. Then over the next table, Tom and Joanne Doyle, which I hope you have checked out their books, books like Killing Christians, Standing in the Fire, Dreams and Visions, as they write about some of the things that are happening in the Middle East. I hope to have them on as guests some point down the road. But Tom stands up and shares about the opportunity that they had to go into the families of those Coptic Christians. Again, I've mentioned this a few times, I think 2014, 2015, there's this video of ISIS lining up these Coptic Christian men in these orange jumpsuits and beheading them. There's videos of that. These men died for their faith, and Tom and Joanne had the chance to go in and visit with their families, and they're telling the stories from that. And it's just welling up in me. That dream, going back to high school years, of youth group years, of Acts 2, and I'm hearing that. Then another speaker stands up, and he begins to talk about that right now they're doing mission work in Iraq, and this is, again, the height of the ISIS stuff. And he says, we are providing medics and medical care for the Kurdish army. He was talking about the work that's happening there. And then someone stood up and said something similar to that. And I'm just blown away. I'm like, wow, this is that. I mean, especially hearing about the underground church in Iran and just how it was exploding and how you had people, you didn't have professional pastors, but you had people who were just, it was just sharing the gospel and making disciples, and it was just exploding. I'm like, wow, I want a taste of that. And then I had to go back and be a pastor and lead my church that was not doing that. And I continue in that. Fast forward, I have a chance to help a church relaunch. We officially relaunched like 6 weeks before COVID happens. And in that, the goal was we were going to really push for discipleship and try to cultivate that. Well, when COVID happened, I didn't want to deal with all the politics and decision-making, you know, of all the social distancing. Should we wear a mask? Should we get the vaccine? All that stuff. So I said, hey, let's just meet outside. For an entire year, we met outside. It was beautiful. The way the church was set up, we were in a neighborhood, and people got to see who we are as a new church. It was really a beautiful opportunity. Okay, we're going to make a decision to come back in. And I didn't want to do it because I felt convicted. The Lord had begun dealing with my heart 2014 or so. And then since 2016, and this was 2020, 2021, dealing with standing firm and remaining faithful and preparing for challenges. The Lord had prepared me ahead of time for COVID. And I felt like I can't go back and just keep status quo. I can't, like, not take this as a wake-up call. And so I prolonged us being outside because I'm like, when we go back in, I've got to do something different. Finally, the Lord got the best of me. And I feel like I bit the bullet and decided, okay, we're just going to do what that underground church in Iran is doing. I don't know if anybody's doing it in the West. I didn't know at the time. We're just going to do it. This disciple-making movements that we talked about with Joel. So we restructured how we did church, and we broke everybody up into these regional Bible studies, and we just did it. It didn't work out amazingly, but it was a seed. It began to be planted. And it was in there I began to see some glimpses of this Acts 2. In the process of that, I met someone else who was interested in that. They introduced me to the KC Underground. The guests that we had, Rob and Brian from the KC Underground, people doing it here in the West, and went up and met with them and got some insight how that might look here in America. And so we began doing that. I had the opportunity in that process. You know, we're trying to force these groups and force this type of movement and practice of Christianity there through the church. And then just kind of spontaneously, a discipleship movement group started in the actual town I was living in. And so God opened the door for a mission agency to come behind me and allow us to start what we call Epic Life. We're creating a network of connection groups, of these disciple-making movement groups, Discover Bible Studies. And it's taken me into an experience of discipleship that I didn't know existed, a level of personal growth that I didn't know existed. Now, we're not seeing people saved daily. We're not seeing all these signs and wonders. We've seen a few miracles. But on the fellowship and the relationship and the depth of discipleship, we're getting a taste of it. And daily, I'm on this journey of, okay, Lord, how does this look? How do we walk in this? How do we try to begin to look like their first followers? And it's been quite the journey. And through all of that, it's been a journey of fully integrating faith in my life. As when you invite people into your home and say, okay, I'm trying to live for Jesus. I want to help you do that. then you have to really take stock in yourself and begin to work on things maybe you didn't realize you had to work on. Because in a lot of ways in church and in ministry, we can keep people at arm's length and not work on some things inside. And it's been a brutal process. The Lord's getting me there. And I share that, and I'm like, and you're probably like, well, Jake, thanks for the story. Thanks for story time. Thanks for sharing your journey. That's nice. But I know others feel like me. You read about the church in Acts. You hear about the church in the first century, or maybe you hear about the church in some of these restricted and persecuted countries where the gospel's exploding. You're like, I want a piece of that. I want some of that. It can happen where you're at. I'm not saying I have the answer in how that's done, but it is going to take us integrating faith even more into our everyday life. And that's been my hope through this study, to just begin to crack the door of some of these other expressions of Christianity, some of these other understanding of how to live that out. And as you begin to seek the Lord, be able to re-in yourself and read the word, look into these expressions, look into this, and begin to walk in obedience with him to integrate faith more fully in your life. And then that can trickle down to your family and to the next generation. And my hope is our families could get to a time and our children and grandchildren could experience this Acts 2 type movement in their walk with the Lord. Our next episode, we're going to recap all the glimpses we've gotten. But we started with one. It said tools versus end game. The end game is to be this faithful follower of Jesus. The end game is this Acts 2 picture of walking with Jesus and being in fellowship and community with others, making disciples and transforming this world. That's the end game. And we've got to be careful not to make the tools that help us walk and follow the Lord, that we don't make them the end game. I hope you will step out on a journey to develop a fully integrated faith. I hope my journey resonated with you. One of the things that we want to do with Stand Firm Ministries is not just talk about it in theory. We want to truly help you develop this fully integrated faith for your family. One of the tools we have to do this is we're taking what I'm doing locally with Epic Life and what we've learned from the underground church in the Middle East and what doing Discovery Bible Study and what we've learned from groups like the KC Underground. We've put it in ways to help families begin on the family level to begin rooting your family in truth and becoming on mission and getting glimpses of this Acts 2 even in your home. And that can expand out further. Our program, Epic Roots. So keep watching here on Stand Firm Ministries. If you're catching us over LifeWord, go like us, follow us over Stand Firm Ministries, because we're going to be offering some free workshops on how to do this in your home, begin this with your family, and develop some epic roots for life. You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.